What is expected from the person who receives the gift of salvation from God? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're doing something a little bit unique on the show today. We're going to talk about the gift that Paul discusses in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, but we're going to discuss it from the perspective of an influential theologian named John Barclay. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We had fun doing this show about Dwight Pentecost's book, Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. And we have another book that we've been pondering. It's by John Barclay. And what's the title, Bob?
It's called Paul and the Gift.
First of all, what gift is he talking about?
Well, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is one of the key verses associated with Paul and the Gift, where Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." When Barclay's talking about the gift of God, he's talking about the gift of salvation, which is the gift of everlasting life, because in Ephesians 2:5, he says, "You who are dead, he made alive. By grace you have been saved." So the made alive is being born again, and that's defined as salvation in Ephesians 2:5 and Ephesians 2:8.
Right, and we have a recent journal article about that, I think,
right,
don't we? In the autumn 2019 issue of the Journal of the Grace Evangelical.
John Niemöller, yeah. This is toward the end of the book on pages 562 and 563, and Barclay says, "Throughout this book, we have been suspicious of the modern Western ideal of the pure gift, which supposedly is given without strings attached." Now, I may pause here and say, a lot of people say, wait a minute, if it's unmerited favor, if it's a free gift, there can't be strings attached. But he goes on to explain, "We have been able to make sense of the fact that a gift can be unconditioned, that is, free of any prior conditions regarding the recipient, without also being unconditional." And what he means here is, quote, "free of expectations that the recipient will offer some return." He's saying that there is an expectation from God when we receive the gift of everlasting life that we will return something to God.
All right, so wait, there's two things here. There's the gift that comes with strings attached, and then there are gifts that have expectations attached. Is that what
right.
And he's saying those are two different things?
Well, I think he would be comfortable with saying there are strings attached, but what those strings are expectations, not exactly requirements.
Okay, so the difference is gifts with requirements and gifts with expectations.
Yeah, now where I have a little problem with Barclay, and I've written a review of this for our journal in 2020, is he says there's no strings attached in terms of gaining the gift, but once you've gained the gift, now there are strings attached in terms of God's expectation, which is okay, except coming from the new perspective of Paul, etc., if you don't exhibit a life of obedience, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. And so he's got a kind of a backloading of the gospel, as people would say.
Let's say someone buys their kid a car.
Right.
And they say, here's a brand new car. Now, someone could say, this is a brand new car, and I've paid for it completely, and here you go.
Right.
And someone else can say, I bought you a car. Now you have a monthly payment to make, and you need to pay for the insurance, and you need to drive it every day, or else you're going to lose the car.
Right.
Those are two very different types of gifts, right?
Right.
One is like pure gift, and the other one is gift with all types of requirements in order to keep the gift.
Right.
How does that relate to eternal life?
Well, that's a good point. Now, in terms of Barclay, I'm not exactly sure, because I think he would say it's absolutely free on the front end, but there are expectations on the back end. So maybe like the monthly payment is, he's giving you this car to start with, but there are certain things, maybe these are small monthly payments, so it's really a good deal.
Yeah.
But you got to do something.
Right.
But Barclay's basic point is correct. If someone gives you a gift, they pay for the entire car, there are no payments, they even pay for your insurance and repairs and accidents, everything related to that car is taken care of.
Yeah.
Right? It's an eternally secure car.
Right, right.
Well, even if that were true, there are still expectations for your child that receives it, right?
Right.
Don't you expect some level of thanks and gratitude?
At least thanks and gratitude.
Wouldn't you expect the children to live the way you trained them to live?
But I also know that it's not going to necessarily cause them to be gracious. It's not like I give them a car and suddenly it causes them to say thank you.
Right.
They're free to respond that way.
Right.
And they should, but it's not going to cause them to respond, right?
Well, let me give you an example. Remember when Jesus healed 10 lepers?
Right.
He sends them off to the priest before they're healed, but he says, you go show yourself to the priest. So while they're on the way to the priest, they're all healed, all 10 of them.
Right.
One of the 10, a Samaritan, goes back to Jesus, falls at his feet, worships him, thanks him, and Jesus' response is, this is great, but where are the other 9?
Yeah.
It was a free gift to all 10, right?
Yes.
But yet the Lord Jesus had an expectation that all 10 of them would come and worship him and
yeah.
show thanks.
Oh, that's a great, yeah, great point. But so, not all did.
And he didn't revoke the healing of the other 9.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
still, they did not please him.
Right.
And in the same way, if God gives us the gift of everlasting life, which he does when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are expectations that we live a life that is pleasing to God. Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians 5:9, our aim is to be well-pleasing to him. And that's our aim in life.
Yeah.
And so the gratitude is expected. The thanks is expected. The life of obedience is expected. The perseverance is expected. But if that doesn't happen, the person is still secure in Christ, still has everlasting life.
They still have the gift. The gift giver doesn't take it back.
Right. And that's not clear in Barclay.
Okay.
But that is clear in the scriptures.
And so I think that's one of the differences that the free grace view, we're free grace, and we believe that born again people can act really inconsistently with being born again.
They can, and that's a big issue, is failure a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I wish Barclay had discussed, and I wish Barclay had come out saying, yes, failure is a possibility.
Right.
We may not do what we should do in terms of God's expectations.
Right.
But on the other hand, I think we also need to flesh out, okay, what happens for the believer who is godly?
Right.
Who is obedient. It doesn't mean, okay, because of that we get into the kingdom. We were going to get into the kingdom anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why live for God? What should motivate us to live for God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to me it's a silly thing to say, well, if I believe that, why wouldn't I go out and live like the devil? That's silly because it's kind of like saying, okay, if I know for sure that I'm a secure American citizen and I'm not going to lose it, why don't I go out and rob banks?
Right.
Well, I really don't want to go to prison. I really think that would be a bummer.
Right.
And if I know I'm a secure citizen, why don't I go out and commit adultery?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I don't want to ruin my marriage.
Well,
and I don't want to displease God, and I don't want to get sexually transmitted diseases, and
right.
on and on and on.
Well, it'd be like saying, my wife is so faithful. That's impressed me so much, I'm going to go out and commit adultery.
That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense, right? Your wife's faithfulness should not inspire you to commit adultery.
It should inspire us to faithfulness.
Right. Any more than being eternally secure should inspire you to sin. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. And we need to realize that if we walk in sin, we reap the consequences. Being born again doesn't mean we're going to escape consequences when we sin. David was born again. David was eternally secure. And when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then killed her husband Uriah,
yeah.
he reaped the consequences. And you read 2 Samuel 12 through 24, and there's a whole string of terrible consequences. He actually should have been put to death. He should have been stoned, but there were still lots of negative consequences.
Right, and there's consequences because David failed to meet God's expectations.
Right, but yet, in his whole life, he was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
And he was one that greatly pleased God, and I think that's true in the Christian life as well. It's not like it's either you're completely pleasing to the Lord or you're completely displeasing to the Lord. It's possible for a believer to live a sort of mixed life
right.
where the person does persevere in faith and good works until death, but they're kind of half-hearted in their experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the second servant in the parable of the minas in Luke 19. The first guy hears, well done, good servant, because you've been faithful a little, have authority over 10 cities. That's Luke 19:17. But
right.
in Luke 19:19, The second servant, who went from 1 to 5 and could have gone from 1 to 10, he hears you also be over 5 cities.
Right.
He doesn't hear anything about well done, good servant, and he doesn't get 10 cities, he only gets 5. And the third servant, who was also a servant of Christ, has his opportunity to rule in the life to come taken away. So he gets no cities to rule over, but he'll be in the kingdom. So not only are there blessings or curses in this life, depending on whether we please or displease God, but there are blessings after this life, which can be earned. They're called wages or misthos,
yeah,
if we serve God. So even though everlasting life is a free gift, there are wages that can be earned after we get the free gift.
Right. What I really like about this is the motivation is very different. And people often ask us, why do you keep talking about everlasting life and making such a big point about faith alone and all that stuff? Doesn't that get tiring? Why don't you talk about Christian living? But we are talking about Christian living.
Right.
We're talking about the motivation for Christian living. You have to keep on going back to that original moment of grace, that giftedness, that love that God shows us by simply giving you eternal life in order to be motivated properly to live the Christian life. Know what it reminds me of? What is the first thing that God says before he gives the Ten Commandments? He says something about what he has done for Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he gives the command. He's like, remember the salvation that I gave to you.
Yes.
And why? Because there's an expectation of gratitude that, okay, now out of gratitude, you're going to.
And the other thing I mentioned just here at the end, Sean, is the Lord's Supper, which some people call communion. That's a reminder that Jesus gave his body up on the cross. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. And the reason we do this often, in our church it's every week, in some churches it's once a month, but the reason we do it over and over and over again is because focusing on the sacrifice of Christ motivates us to serve him. Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. So, let God's love motivate you to live a life that's pleasing to him. And if you do, one day soon, you'll hear the Lord Jesus say, well done, good servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on the gift that Paul discusses in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what exactly saving faith really is. So tune in then. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.